Welcome in to the Morning Glory Show. I hope you guys are having a wonderful morning. It is Monday. The 2024 NFL Draft is in the books. The Tennessee Titans have drafted seven players, and we're going to break that down today, guys. And then we're going to talk a little bit about this UDFA primer that we got going on. The Titans are bringing a lot of guys for this rookie minicamp, and we're going to talk about this. So if you're checking us out for the first time, make sure you head over to YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe. Join the conversation down below. If you're checking us out on Twitter, make sure you hit that retweet button, like, grow this video, drop comments over there as well, and we'll get to those as we progress through the show. But to start off, J.C. Latham with the seventh overall pick in the NFL draft. The Titans have their left tackle, apparently. And if you want to hear more about Latham and our thoughts on that, make sure you go watch last Thursday's episode. That was right, or our last Friday's episode, right after we drafted him. We broke it down. Me, Jonathan, and B Will talked about at an extent. But on day two, the Titans had another pick, and that's T'Vondre Sweat. And that's one that seems to be very torn across this fan base on how they perceive this. Personally, I had a lot of players on my big board that I would have preferred over Sweat, but I do see the process that Rancarthon is trying to get across bringing in Sweat. Mammoth of a man, 6'5"-ish, 350, 360 plus. This is a guy that you can bring in day one and fixes that nose tackle position for you. I've seen the arguments for character concerns, as well as he a three-down defensive lineman. We're talking just the three-down perspective. This is a guy that outsnapped Byron Murphy four snaps per game last season. This is a guy that you're bringing in, pairing him with a Jeffrey Simmons, a Sebastian Joseph Day, even a Keandre Colburn, who he played with at Texas just last year. So what we're getting out of T'Vondre Sweat, it might not look pretty on the stat sheets on a week-to-week basis, but I mean, going back and looking at guys like Albert Haynesworth that average three sacks per season, this is a guy that can come in for you and can be a star very early on, and it's just going to make Jeffrey Simmons' job that much easier. And then going into the sacks department, I mean, Harold Landry, he's the sack savant on this defense, and he has played very well when he has people taking the looked away from him, allowing him to get that one-on-one matchup on the outside. I think if you're looking at it on the interior perspective, you have to double Sweat. You have to double Jeffrey Simmons. This is going to leave a lot of openings. And then we're looking at these linebackers. I mean, it's a lot easier to play linebacker if you don't have anybody trying to block you and you can just flow to the hole. So that's going to make guys like Cedric Gray and Kenneth Murray and Jack Gibbons and all these guys down the line, it's going to make their job that much easier. So while ultimately I had players higher on my board and would have liked to go a different direction, I do understand why this was the pick. And after pick 38, that was kind of the start of the run of these interior defensive linemen. Ruko Arroyo went a little bit earlier to Atlanta, if I remember correctly, and they traded up big to get him. We grab Sweat at 38, and that started the run of Chris Jenkins, and half of them went off the board right then and there. So if the Titans did trade back from 38, which it was reported they had seven or eight calls, I would have preferred that if they would have traded back, even if these guys were off the board and they couldn't have got Sweat. But I do understand if that was their guy, they wouldn't have gotten him if they did trade back. So while overall, I see this as a C-plus grade, as just average, maybe the biggest reach, in my opinion. I don't hate the pick, and I don't hate the player. As far as character concerns, obviously, you had the DUI. That doesn't do anything for me. Kids make mistakes. And when we hear from these coaches and the players around him at Texas, it's glowing reviews. So I'm overly think he's going to come in day one and be a starter for you. And that's what you're looking to get out of the second round. Going into round four, they draft Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. Uber productive linebacker over there for the Tar Heels. at 100 plus tackles the last three seasons. So I think as far as production goes, probably the most productive linebacker that came out this year and played pretty well at the Senior Bowl. Saw him more pop in the actual game itself than I did in practices. But you're getting a – I wouldn't say he's a cerebral linebacker. And if we're talking the green dot, I don't know if Cedric Gray is the great guy for that. But he might be the guy over Kenneth Murray. We'll talk about that later as we get closer to the season. But Cedric Gray coming in has a great floor for you. Athletically is leaving a little bit to be desired, but he can come in for you day one, and he's going to at least fill the hole for you. In coverage, you would like to see a little bit more. Ultimately, what I see Cedric Gray as is a fourth down or a fourth round linebacker. I think you're getting a great, probably backup that might be forced to play early in his career, which isn't a bad thing when we look at this team and how it's built. And like I talked about with Sweat and Simmons and all those guys up there, it's going to elevate him as a player and might make it a little bit easier for him as a rookie. But ultimately, I think he's a slightly more athletic Jack Gibbons type for you. I think next season, you're probably looking to replace him and bring in a higher talent. If that's somebody that's a veteran, or maybe it's a guy earlier in the draft, like a Danny Sudson out of Oklahoma, who's probably going to be there second or maybe at the end of the first. So there's guys on this roster that we're still filling the holes for. And ultimately, you're going to look to improve those holes next season. But Cedric Gray might be a good bridge gap. And ultimately, I think he can be a great special teamer for you if everything doesn't work out as well. Jarvis Brownlee Jr., one of my favorite picks of the draft there in the fifth round. This is a guy probably very similarly built to a Roger McCreary, but plays like Legarius Sneed. He's going to get in your face. He's going to press coverage. He's going to push you into the dirt. But with that does come the big plays as well. So he does have to refine a lot of things in man and zone. But as a CB4, as a rookie, this is taking guys like Trey Avery or Eric Gehrer off the field, and that's going to be beneficial to Denard Wilson in this defense. I think this is a guy that a couple of years from now could maybe fill that Legarius Sneed role after he's long gone at 30-plus. So ultimately, Jarvis Brownlee, I think, can play special teams in year one as well, and I don't mind that out of Louisville. So Jarvis Brownlee Jr., A-. Cedric Gray, didn't talk about it, but B-plus for that pick. And then we go into the sixth round. We got Jaquan Jackson out of Tulane, pairing him with Tajay Spears, who was at his draft party. Jaquan Jackson is a slot receiver. It is what it is. He's going to come in and compete for that kick returner and punt returner job from day one. And we'll see how he progresses through this offseason. He might contend for snaps out of the slot, and he's going to at least give you a deep threat. So this might even be like that Khalif Raymond type that the Titans have been lacking for a very long time, who just is going to stretch the field vertically from the slot. So I don't mind this pick. I do think there was probably better receivers on the board, if I remember correctly. Brendan Rice was still out there, who you guys know I loved. Jaquan Jackson, though, it fits a void in this offense, and he's going to come in and probably be your kick returner from day one, which he did it for a 3+ years over there at Tulane. So maybe going into my favorite pick of the draft, which is James Williams out of Miami. And you can see it's listed as a safety, but he is going to play linebacker. He made that conversion at the Senior Bowl, and I liked what I saw. This is a guy that's 6'5". I haven't the size. He might be 215. He might be 235. I've seen it listed both ways. I don't remember what his actual weigh-in results were. But this is a guy that's putting on weight. And as a safety, he was lacking athleticism. But as a linebacker coming in, he's going to have some plus athleticism. Love the length that he has for the position and the ability to – I mean, coverage, he's pretty tight-hipped. But when you have him that close and he's manning up on a tight end or anything like that, I think he's got the length to get into those passing lanes and drop sets and those hook curls. But I think James Williams, I actually had rated higher as a linebacker on my big board than Cedric Gray. So this is a guy that I'm very confident in, and I think he's going to contend for snaps. And if we're looking at this smorgasbord of a Cedric Gray, Kenneth Murray, James Williams, and then everybody at the bottom of the roster, I think they're going to go linebacker by rotation approach. I think out there on early downs, you might see a Cedric Gray and a Kenneth Murray, but as they get into those passing situations, you have guys like James Williams coming out onto the field and filling that role. We've talked about running back by committee for a long time. I think linebacker by committee is going to be the new go-to for this defense, at least to bridge the gap so they can get some high-quality talent in years to come. And maybe James Williams can progress. I mean, he's still a very young prospect, and that's something the Titans have really accomplished this year, is just getting younger. We look at this team, we're getting rid of a Denico Autry and all these other players. I think the oldest player on this defense is going to be Sebastian Joseph Day at, I think, 29. So this team is getting younger, and it might be a year or two away, but they're definitely building that foundation. I'm really liking what I'm seeing there. And then the last pick of the draft, they go Jalen Harrell out of Michigan, the edge prospect. So Jalen Harrell, I think he's been second team or honorable mention all Big 10 the last two seasons. This is a guy that's been productive and a very good defense, but how much is that him and how much is that the team and the scheme around him? So Jalen Harrell, he's going to win with speed. He doesn't have that speed to power conversion. I think he's 6'3", 250, but you don't see that on tape. He's still got to refine a lot of his backup pass rushing moves. He does have a good spin move, but ultimately he has to add more to his repertoire. And to put it, he's got to put that pass rush game plan together better pre-snap. He can improve on those things, but ultimately I think it's a seventh round pick. You're looking for a special teamer, baby. This might be one that try to fits into that void behind an Arden Key and Rashad Weaver. And maybe he can find that spot. And I don't mind that at all. But in the seventh round, it is what it is. But ultimately, when I look at this draft in totality, I mean, it's a B draft. I mean, it's above average. And when we look at the rest of the AFC South and their drafts, I hated the Colts draft. I mean, from top to bottom, the reaches on Latu to start it off, and as it even progressed further in, didn't like any of their picks, really. Houston Texans, they just didn't have a lot of draft capital. They did grab Kamari Lassiter in the second, which is a guy that I'm very high on. And we'll see what they do with him. If they move him into the slot, which might be his more natural position, or if they keep him on the outside of Derek Stingley Jr. Wouldn't mind that at all. I think we look at the Jaguars draft. I mean, it was so-so. I think ultimately the Titans got better than the three divisional rivals. So ultimately pretty good draft. But let's go ahead. Let's talk about these undrafted free agents that the Titans have brought in so far. I haven't updated this list since last night. So if they signed somebody overnight, I haven't seen it. Well, let's go ahead. Lots of players on this. We're not going to touch on all of them just because I think it's probably a waste of time. Let's talk about these running backs, though. So they brought in Dylan Johnson out of Washington and Jabari Small out of Tennessee. And I think if I remember correctly, it's not listed here, but I saw them send a camp invite to one of the top D2 or D3 running backs from this past season. And I'm going to be honest with you, I have no idea what their names are or how. I'm sure they've been I saw they were very productive, but I know nothing about those prospects. But Jabari Small out of Tennessee, I'm sure a lot of fans are going to be very familiar with Jabari. Scat back type. He does have the ability to make the first man miss a lot of times. And pass pro, probably lacking a little bit there, was what I think underutilized in the receiving game. I think he could have done a little bit more there, and we'll see if he has those chops as pass pro goes. I think he was more of a attacker than actually being instinctual and using his technique there. I think it's something he could very, very much grow upon. And then he's a better athlete than Dylan Johnson. I think that's pretty clear. Dylan Johnson, on the other hand, is going to be that power back for you. Going to fit similarly to a Julius Chestnut role for this team, if that's the way they go. Decently productive, transferred out of Mississippi State to Washington 2 years ago, I believe. But this is a guy that I think fans are familiar with because they saw him in the national championship and he was playing through that injury. This is a guy that has a very good ability just to find open space and to read the defense. And he has the size to gain those yards after contact. So if I had to rank these two, I have Dylan Johnson higher over Jabari Small. And I think he could push a Julius Chestnut / Hassan Haskins for that RB3 role coming out of training camp. So this is one to keep an eye on. Both of these guys, really. I mean, it's pretty close, but personally, I have Dylan Johnson. Next up, Khalil Duke out of Kansas State. This is a guy that I did have an undrafted free agent rating on my big board. But, I mean, he does have some traits that you like. He does have some average athleticism, and he has good length. So those are two things that you're looking to build upon. I think there are some things there. And we know, like we just talked about it with Jalen Harrell, this edge 5-6 position is still up for grabs, and they're going to keep them, some of these guys down there. But ultimately, I think guys like Caleb Murphy are probably more suited for that position. But it's a guy to at least watch. Then they brought in a couple tight ends here. Steven Stylianos out of Iowa. You got to love an Iowa tight end. And he was more of that blocking type for Iowa this past season. I saw an Iowa fan commented on one of my posts, and they were like, I'm an Iowa fan. I don't have a clue who this guy is. That's because he didn't catch the rock. He was blocking out there, and I think he played 300-plus snaps this past season. So he played, but athletically, leaves a lot to be desired. And it just kind of comes down to, are the Titans looking to build another pass catcher in that tight end room that already has Chigakonkwo and Josh Wiley? And are they just trying to replace that Trevon Wesco role? If so, Steven might be one of those guys. But then we also have a guy at a Temple down there, at David Martin Robinson, who athletically tested very well. And I liked what I saw. And he is a hands catcher, and he's able to use that big body in the receiving game. As a blocker, he might leave a little bit more to be desired, though. So this is something that he can grow upon. But athletically, he checks a lot of boxes. And if that's something that they believe that they can coach up, this is a guy that might sit down there and ultimately probably a practice squad candidate. But ultimately, I would prefer him over Steven. So we'll see how that plays out. And then they brought in a handful of offensive linemen. I view all of these guys as interior offensive linemen, starting with, I'm not going to try to butcher his last name or first name, but Godlin out of Liberty. This is a guy that I got to watch a little bit of tape the week of the draft, if I remember correctly. I like what I saw. This is a guy that's played all five positions across this offensive line. He's played right tackle. He played guard. He played center. Ultimately, I think that they're looking at him as a guard. And that's still a position that's still very much up for debate with Dylan Radins and the rest of the crew there. So Godlin, athletically, might not have everything, but this is a guy that's played a lot of snaps and then has been productive over at Liberty and actually transferred from my hometown here in Tulsa. So that's a guy I'm a little bit familiar with. And I like what I saw. Out of these guys, he's probably my first pick, followed by our second guy, which is Cole Spencer out of Texas Tech. So Cole Spencer, that's an uber athletic interior offensive lineman, 9 point something on the RAS scale, relative athletic scoring scale. So Cole Spencer, I think, still needs to learn to use that athleticism. And I think he's a little bit undersized too. I think he's like 305. So he's got to get a little bit growing there as well. But he has a lot of the traits that you're looking for. And again, has played a lot of snaps. And then lastly, Brian Dooley of Eastern Michigan. It's a guy that I think I didn't see it. I didn't see it on tape from the very, very little that I did watch. So we'll see how that plays out. But ultimately, if I had to watch a couple of these guys, it's going to be Dylan Johnson, Godlin, and David Martin Robinson. Those are my three that I'm high and hopeful on. And maybe they'll continue to bring in more guys that we'll be able to look at. But it's an exciting time for Titans. Obviously, the draft is just wrapped up, and we can finally breathe a sigh of relief and move in and start looking at what this team is going to look like in 2024. I'm super excited, guys. But again, if you checked us out for the first time today, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. And we will check you guys out on Thursday with the full crew as we'll talk more draft and looking ahead. But we appreciate you guys all checking us out. We've got a couple hundred of you guys in the chat. We love you, mean it, and we will catch you guys on the flip side. Peace.